Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Boom, Fabi. It's been earlier than expected, but we have to talk about this because the final round of the Grand Swiss qualifier to the candidates, two spots going to the candidates, is absolutely electrifying right now. We have five players tied for first going into the final round. Somewhat unexpected, some of the names that you will see at the top, and it's anybody's game in tomorrow's round. So I wanted to gauge your impression of round 10, which was just an incredible round, but also the official predictions going into the final round tomorrow. It's such an important moment, and it will determine two of the players that are going to go to the candidates. So let's get into it. Fabi, let's start with round 10. Crazy round.
Yeah, I think to start with round 10, it had mostly draws. But that was a bit of a surprise because, Vincent was clearly winning, and he's definitely the one who can be most upset about this round. You know, he had won two games previously, two in a row. Maybe you could argue with some luck, but, you know, you always need a bit of luck, and he did take his chances. But against Vidit, he was lucky that Vin didn't play King D5.
Yeah.
Anyway, then he won a good game against Parham, so Vincent was on a roll, and then he was playing Matthias Bluebaum, and he had a winning endgame, and he just blundered knight takes g3. It was just like a one-move blackout, which turned a win, and he would have been clear first place, which meant he would have been basically like a 90% favorite to qualify if he had won, maybe even more than 90%. I mean, someone could do
that. So basically, if he wins that one, if he does not allow the move knight takes g3, he goes clear first, 7 points, half a point ahead, the pack. With a lot of results in the final round, very likely to be a draw. This would have put him in an incredible position. Sure, it would have meant
that he would have black against Ali Reza. I think that's yes. Guarantee. Not black against Ali Reza. He would probably have black against Anish.
Yeah,
I guess, did he play Anish?
Yeah, I don't think he did, but we can definitely check.
Actually, Vincent
He did not.
Like, when I see his pairings, I actually think Vincent got some of the sweetest pairings at some point. I mean, everyone's tough, but, you know, if you look at someone like Misha, for example, Misha played like all 2700s, Giri, Noderbeck, Hans, Maxime, Gukesh, Prague, Yuyangyi, Vidit, like all 2700 players the entire tournament. Vincent, by comparison, got sweet pairings, you know? So, he would have probably gotten Anish with black, and he would just need to not lose. So, okay, anyway, now Vincent is still in the leading pack, but not clear first. And unfortunately, the leading pack is really big for all of them. So it's unfortunate for all of them, but there's five, and only two make it.
There was also another big, big result in round 10. We'll get into round 11 in just a second. The big result that we can see clearly is Hans defeating Prague with the white pieces. Obviously, Prague perhaps felt like he needed to win as well because he was half a point behind Hans, one full point behind the leaders. So Prague would need basically to win the last two to have any realistic chance, perhaps. With that in mind, took more risk than necessary, but Hans played quite an impeccable game. What's your take on that game?
I don't see it as Prague taking... Well, to start with, the good news for Prague is in general that he probably makes the candidates by virtue of the FIDE circuit, so he's not in a must-qualify situation here. Technically, nobody is because it's the World Cup, but Prague is pretty safe, and he probably feels pretty confident about his chances, so he's just playing a tournament where he doesn't have to get top two, but it's always nice to do well. He played a normal opening. Like, it was a Roslimo. He played a rare line, Prague did, where Hans reacted in a reasonable way, and they got a position where Hans is a pawn up, but the engine just shows zeros. A strong engine just shows like zeros in many, many ways, but it's not as trivial as it seems. It's a bit unpleasant always, because engines defend anything, but you have to be accurate. And you know, at some point, like, the engine was just showing, like, every move is equal, including what Prague played, queen f5. But I think this queen f5 was, like, a small step in the wrong direction, and then it was followed up by more and more small steps as it got increasingly more difficult and increasingly less time. And Hans, to his credit, played a pretty near-perfect game. I mean, very little to be critical even over single moves. Hard to find any moves to be critical over, you know, maybe some minor mistakes, but overall a pretty impressive victory. The only move I could, like, really be critical over is queen e1, which Hans himself said he liked the move. And I can't even be critical over it. It's a pretty fine move. Just the computer doesn't like it as much as other moves. But okay, that was a great game, and the only decisive game in the top, how many?
Nine boards. Yeah.
That's actually a little bit surprising because, you know, people are tired at the end and you expect a bunch of crazy results.
Yeah.
But only one. I think there could have been others. Like, Nihal was much better. Yu Yang Yi was much better against Arjun. Obviously, Vincent was winning. Alireza Anish was a really quick affair. Alireza played a rare line, but Anish, I guess, was a bit better prepared for it and got slightly better position, but then it turned into a draw by a very forcing way. Just game ended immediately. Which, for Alireza and Anish, is both maybe not a bad result. I mean, if you think about it. The reason why I say that is because Anish has widened last round, so he can push for a win, but his tie breaks aren't very good.
Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the final round right here. Okay, so
first of all, I think we should say people who have no realistic who have no theoretical chance anymore.
No theoretical chance.
And those people
are
at ninth place and below. So Noderbeck, Nihal, a Wonder, Vidit, Yu Yang Yi, and Maxime, zero theoretical chance. Even if they win and everything else goes perfectly, they cannot get top two in the tournament. It's impossible.
Because they have,
on the other hand,
tie breaks.
Bad tie breaks, yeah. They're currently a half point behind, but even if they catch up, they'll still have worse tie breaks than at the very least two and probably more. Now, from people who have 6.5 points and still have chances, Mishra, Woodward, and Arjun still have a theoretical chance.
That's
surprising,
an unexpected name, Woodward, Andy Woodward, the only player that I can see with a 5 followed after the 2, so 25.57, a very low rating in comparison to all his peers around the top 10 boards, but obviously one of the most talented youngsters coming from the US. We've talked about him. I believe his live rating is approaching 2600 if it hasn't already gotten there. Definitely a very promising player.
He's gaining 30 plus points, yeah. It's one of the biggest kind of results of the tournament. Not counting the qualification, people who have a good chance of qualifying, but from the young guys who weren't thinking about qualifying, I don't think, but were just thinking about playing well, he's actually theoretically can qualify before the last round, and he's +3. And he's played people
incredible
of an average rating of like 2680 maybe or something like that. And he's beaten Levon from top players. And he's also beaten Parham. Now, for him to have a chance of qualifying, it's almost like strange to imagine that we're talking about is he 14 or 15? But yeah, really young
15.
Guy.
15.
Potentially qualifying for candidates, but he does have a theoretical chance. He's playing Yu Yang Yi with white. Now, normally, Yu Yang Yi is not likely to lose the game, but anything could happen. And then he has very good tie breaks. Now, still, other things would have to go his way because he's still, I think, lower tie breaks than Bluban and Alireza. So it's unlikely even if he wins, but it is possible. And to be honest, whatever his result, I think he'll be thrilled with the tournament, and he should be.
Absolutely incredible result, yes.
Then we have Mishra, who has had, by performance, I think, the best tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had kind of unlucky pairings, if you think about it, because I mentioned he played everyone 2700.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues, I think. Wait, who does he play?
He's playing Vidit, which I think it's a good pairing because Vidit obviously is extremely strong. He's the defending champion of this tournament. But I think you already mentioned it. He doesn't have any realistic chances of qualifying right now to the candidates just due to his tie breaks. I think he wants to win. I think he's going to take chances to try to win. He's a fighter. And that could open the door for Mishra to maybe get some chances with the black pieces. Not an easy pairing.
Honestly, the thing is, if Mischer wins, he is a favorite to qualify because his tiebreaks are better than everyone. So the only way he wouldn't qualify if he wins is if both, like, either Blue Mama Alireza has a decisive result and Anish Hans or Vincent wins.
Yes.
But two of those things would have to happen, which is unlikely. I think one of those could easily happen. But for two people to go on 8 points, I think is unlikely. But it's not impossible.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing is, Mischer with black against Vidit, you know, regardless of how ambitious Vidit is, it's still unlikely that Vidit overpresses with white. It's possible.
It's definitely unlikely, yes.
But we are talking about someone who on paper, he's 100 points higher rated. I know Mischer is now like probably 2650 or so, but Vidit is still, we have to say, the stronger player, and he is white. So, but it's still, it's a tremendous tournament. Like, no matter what the result is, Mischer has had a 28-30 plus performance. I mean, you know, he's played everyone. He hasn't lost a game. He drew Prague. He beat Gukesh. He drew Anish. He drew Noderbeck, like absolute top players, and many of them young and ambitious players. He drew Hans with black in a good defensive game. I mean, his tournament for me is the most impressive, but the score is still, unfortunately, probably not enough for him to qualify. But he has a chance.
We get to the top boards. Those are the players with the highest chances. Blue Bomb, who's been having an absolutely incredible event so far. Alireza Giri, who's also been having a very good event. Hans, coming with a couple of important victories in the last few rounds to now tie for the top position. And Kaimer, Arjun as well. We see him in the mix on board three, but unfortunately for him, the tiebreaks.
He has a chance. No,
he has a chance. He has a chance, but the tiebreaks are not very much in his favor.
Well, no, but it's not so bad. I mean, if you look at the tiebreaks, like Blue Bomb is number one by tiebreaks, and Alireza, I think, is number two, but I think that Arjun has played pretty strong players and is ahead of Anish and Hans. So Arjun is in a must-win game. And he's white. Now, it's difficult because Vincent is such a strong player and it's hard to beat a top player with white or not, but it's kind of a must-win for both of them, and Arjun is white. So in terms of like paths to potential qualification, this is not the most unlikely thing I've seen. He just wins, which knocks out Vincent. Blue Bomb, Alireza is a draw, let's say, and Anish Hans is a draw. And then the question becomes, whose tiebreak is better, Arjun or Alireza? And I think it's pretty close. Yeah, I mean,
so let's see. Alireza is playing a lower rated player, but right now he has a slightly higher average. This is the average, right? The first
time. I'm not sure if it's accurately calculated because I saw some different stuff on Twitter. But anyway, it's not impossible. For Arjun, he just doesn't have to care about it because he just plays, he tries to win. You know, a loss or a draw is basically the same for him. For Vincent, it's also a must win, weirdly enough, even though he's on the leading score group. His tiebreaks are bad. His tiebreaks are the worst of the group. So a draw will not qualify him. There's just no way. And
who do you see as favorites?
Blue Bomb is a favorite. I mean, Blue Bomb is a favorite. I mean, he's white. He has a high likelihood to draw if he wants a draw. And I think he should go for a draw. Alireza might push because Alireza is not necessarily a favorite to qualify with a draw. But Blue Bomb is. His tiebreaks will be ahead of anyone, without a doubt, except maybe Mischer.
Paint me a picture of what you think is going to happen in tomorrow's game between Blue Bomb and Firuja. Like, give me just...
I think it's kind of up to Alireza.
Let's say the opening playout. Like, I think Alireza is going to play the modern or something like that, something completely crazy, or you think he's going to take...
Okay, Blue Bomb is a D4 player.
Okay.
Alireza is also a King's Indian player. Now, when Alireza has tried to play for a win in past games, for example, against Dayak in Bucharest, he's very often fallen back on the King's Indian. It's a good opening to play for a win usually, although there are some drawish lines, and it depends a bit on how cynical Blue Bomb is. Does he think about how to draw in every single opening? What's his repertoire against the King's Indian? To be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I know that he's like a Nimzo player. He's an main E3 Nimzo player. He'll play D4. It's kind of what he does, and he's a good theoretical player, and he knows his openings very well. He analyzes quite extensively. He usually has his own like small original twists on lines that he plays. If Alireza wants to win, he kind of has to play something a bit marginal. Now, it depends on what he'll look in Blue Bomb's repertoire, what gives him the most chances to get a fighting position. And the other question is, will Alireza look at all the possible scenarios and decide, screw it, let's make a draw and, you know, hope for the best? Either way, it's a bit of, like, do you want to take fate in your own hands? Personally, I would probably try to keep the game a bit tense just to avoid a scenario where you draw and then it's completely out of your hands. And there's so many, like, the scenarios where it goes wrong for Alireza is either Anish or Hans wins, Arjun wins and things don't go well in terms of tiebreaks there, Vincent wins, Misha wins. That's a lot of possible results that could go wrong. So probably Alireza
has very decent. He does have very, very decent tiebreaks, Alireza. So
yeah, but he could just be passed by score. So he's worse. He's worse than Blue Bomb. If he draws, he knows that he can never get first place. So it's one place remaining. So if someone goes ahead of him, either Anish, Hans, Vincent, then he's out. If Arjun ties with him, then has to do some calculations. And if Misha goes ahead of him, which is maybe the least likely, but I mean, not goes ahead, ties him, then Mishra's in. Mm-hmm. And Andy could also maybe pass. I don't know. So, you know, if I were Alireza, I think it's one of those scenarios. It's a tough situation, but you kind of have to keep some chances alive. The good news is Alireza is usually pretty good in this situation, but it's a bit weird. It's not like a pure must win. So it's similar to what we had in Candidates when I was playing Jan. It's like, okay, that was actually, no, that game is more like, Anish versus Hans. They both have to win.
Let's talk about that.
That's the most interesting game because for them, it's a draw will not help either of them. They both have to win. The same as Arjun Vincent. All these four players have to win and they know that their opponent has to win, but they don't know how their opponent will approach. It's like when I was playing Jan, I was like, he can play the Petrov knowing that I could force a draw, but since I have to win, maybe I'll do something crazy and give him chances, but he doesn't know if I'll do something crazy. So I know that. So maybe, do you remember Hans's French thing? We know our opponent plays the French, but you remember that, right?
He doesn't know that we play the French.
But he doesn't know that we know that he plays the French, thereby. And so it's a bit of, I guess, some like psychology in play. But for White, it's easier because you can play normal openings and still put pressure on. And you know that your opponent will not like kill the game. Like, let's say if I'm Anish and I play d4 first move, my opponent won't play d5, c4, e6, knight c3, c5, because that's just crazy. You can't possibly get winning chances there. Like, you kind of force your opponent to dry the game out. Like, the most annoying openings are kind of taken out of the picture a little bit. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's like, okay, Anish is, he plays many openings first move, right? He can play d4, he can play e4. Hans is kind of a Berlin Marshall player. Or will he decide to play something else to surprise? But then he has to prepare surprises. In the Candidates I was playing Prague, I considered it a must win in the penultimate round. So I just prepared, I mean, as you know, I prepared very risky openings against everything. I mean, I was ready to play the King's Indian, which didn't happen, but I was ready. And the question is, will these players,
I don't know if you should have said that.
Okay, I mean, it's...
It's past the time, yes.
Like, also with Arjun, since he knows it's a must win, he could give Vincent chances. But the thing is, Vincent also is a must win. So I think it's more likely that the players playing White get chances. That's my... If I had to pick, my current prediction would be maybe Blue Bomb Anish, or alternatively, I could see Alireza winning. And then, to be honest, I think between Anish, Arjun, and Keimer, like, I think Hans is actually in a bad situation. I don't see him winning the game. I see either Anish, Arjun, or Vincent more likely to win than Hans. Hans has had a great tournament. He actually won a must win against Prague, and the bad luck for him is that he still has a must win against Anish Black. It's just an unfortunate pairing, but that's a Swiss system for you.
Yep.
What to do?
From my perspective, I would have to stay with the options I took at the beginning of the tournament. I'm going to stay with Alireza and Hans. I cannot avoid those.
Your predictions, right?
Those were my predictions. Yes.
I mean, it's pretty better than mine.
Thank you. Yes.
Where's Fedosev? What happened?
Fedosev did not do very well. It's good, by the way, to see Grigory making a comeback after losing a painful game and making that draw against Lagarde as well. He defeated Chucky, and I think he defeated David Anton today. So definitely,
yeah, he's
comeback.
He's 6 out of 10. Yeah. Actually, Fedorsev has the same score. They're on adjacent boards.
Yeah.
But he's played stronger opponents than Fedorsev, I think.
Right. Quite unfortunate for Max Sudlu, who was leading. I think he had did he start with 5 out of 5?
No. But he had something like 4.
What did he have?
Four and a half.
And now he's on 5.5 out of 10. So he scored only 1 out of 5 in the second part of the event.
He lost 3 games. I mean,
unfortunate.
It was a collapse. He's a player who can he can be a bit streaky. So it's, you know, 5 rounds in, it's just too early to say too much. Like, you know, even Maxime, who started pretty atrociously, he won 3 games in a row, and if he had potentially won today against Mishra, he would have actually been in like the leader score group and had a chance. So unfortunately, Noderbeck, from his point of view, although he did have a reasonable tournament, and I think it's a step up considering his previous tournament, at some point he didn't win enough games, and now his score is fine, but it's just not high enough, and his tiebreaks are not high enough. But yeah, that's basically the story of the... I think it's been a great tournament, very exciting. A lot of people did great. A lot of people were fighting well. I think it's the most competitive one we've seen. You know, when I played in 2019, and I shared first with Wang Hao, it was also very competitive, but I think part of the reason why was because I was already playing candidates. And last time when Hikaru and Vidit made it, it was also very competitive. But at some point, I shouldn't say, because it was still wide open. Like, yes, Yesipenko had a good chance, but he lost to Anish. I mean, it's mm-hmm. true. There's, at some point, it felt like Vidit and Hikaru were making it, but it was pretty competitive. So I like the system. I thought it was overall a great tournament and very exciting to watch, and a lot of interesting games. You know, Divya had a great tournament, a lot of interesting storylines. She drew Gukesh. Gukesh recovered
with a win today against Sargsyan.
Yeah, he beat Sargsyan, so not a tournament that he'll be happy about, but he recovered at least. It definitely feels better after you win one game.
Remind me again before we sign off, your top 2 picks going in tomorrow's run. Was Blue Bomb, the other one was which one?
Blue Bomb and Anish. I'll go final answer.
Final answer. Blue Bomb and Anish. Perfect. Well, we have a battle tomorrow. I cannot wait for these games to begin and to unfold. And I'm sure we'll be talking about it after the event is over, after we know who the next 2 candidates are. Fabi, thank you for joining. Hope you guys enjoyed this final round breakdown. And we'll see you soon. Cheers.